We're looking for candidates for KBOO's board of directors, and we've extended our search through July 31st. So if you'd like to share your skills with the people who share your values, download a copy of our board candidate package at kboo.fm. Or you can pick up a copy at the station during business hours. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. July 31st, so don't delay. And we look forward to seeing more of you at KBOO.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and I'm here tonight with Patty Katz. And she's going to be talking with us about the exciting stuff she's doing around the Ban the Box campaign. But first, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, Patty? Tell us where you're coming from.
Okay, well, my name is Patty Katz, and this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. As a formerly incarcerated person, I want to do things to be able to make other people's access to employment and fair housing the same as I have now. I know that there are a lot of barriers to face because as a formerly incarcerated person, I did face those barriers. I've had a lot of opportunities in my life because I've been able to prove that people can change, and guess what? I did change. So I want to make that possible for other people as well.
Great. So we worked together a little bit a couple years ago, but we haven't had much time to speak in the recent couple years. What have you been up to for the past little while?
Well, I've been working at Oregon Action, and Oregon Action is a statewide nonpartisan network of people and organizations dedicated to social, economic, and racial justice for all throughout individuals and group empowerment.
Okay.
So what does that mean?
What does that mean, Patty?
Okay. So last year I did a lot of what the new terminology is SUD, which is substance use disorder work. And I organized in the recovery community to form some groups of people and help empower them to have a voice and speak out on recovery-related issues. With the new CCO, with the new coordinated care organizations, I think it's really important that we have a recovery voice at the table so that we can talk to the insurance companies that might not know as much about treatment, access to treatment, prevention, and recovery. So we're trying to make ourselves known as the voice to be heard.
So you say you do some organizing with the SUD community. When I think about organizing, I think about people with getting picket lines and protesting and coming together and chanting. But does it look like that? What does it look like exactly?
Well, it could. We just haven't had that opportunity yet. But we're a little bit of a rebel rouser. So give us a picket sign and a cause and we'll do it. However, how we've been organizing in the past, well, since 2000, I've been organizing with a group of folks in recovery, and we're all people in long-term recovery, and we come together with one voice and one message, especially around National Recovery Month. National Recovery Month, we're in our 26th year, and it's an event that's sponsored by SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration out of Washington, D.C., and they started that years ago. I am also a founding board member for an organization called Hands Across the Bridge Project, and we have been coming together. This will be our 13th year.
That's on Labor Day, right?
Well, it has been on Labor Day Our first year, it was on September 1st, and the following years, it was on Labor Day. And this year, however, we're changing it, and I'm glad you asked me that, because on September 14th, we are having our Hands Across the Bridge and Oxfest event. We're having it on September 14th because Oxford World Convention is coming to Portland, and that's when they were able to get reasonable hotel rates, and so they're coming, and we'll be bringing, you know, there'll be an additional 1,500, 2,000 people here for that conference, and we thought, well, you know, let's just have a big event. So that's what we're doing on September 14th, Janssen Beach at the Red Lion Hotel, and then over in Washington, it'll be at Esther Short Park. We're starting at noon instead of 10 a.m. this year, and we'll have the organizer for Oxfest, Tony Perkins, passed away this year. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Me too. He was too young to be dying, and he passed away, so we're trying to take up the slack and make Oxfest and Hands Across the Bridge all about Tony Perkins and Clean and Sober Housing and, you know, Oxford Houses in Oregon and Washington. There's about 400 Oxford Houses, all men and women in recovery who come together and have a shared living experience so they can learn how to really live in the world without drugs and alcohol.
Great, great. So just to just before we leave the Hands Across the Bridge thing, and maybe you did mention this, but Hands Across the Bridge, what is that referring to exactly?
Well, you know, several years ago, several years ago, from the very bad old days, my friend Louise Wedge and myself used to do drugs underneath the bridge. And when we came into recovery, we heard about this thing called National Recovery Month, and we were all part of the Recovery Association Project. And it was, we just started talking about what could we do to honor and celebrate National Recovery Month. And so she and I were going to stand on the bridge at daybreak and just give thanks to our higher power that we were no longer under the bridge doing drugs. And I said, well, you know, I live in Washington. I lived in Washington back then. And you live in Oregon. Let's do it on the I-5 bridge and the Interstate 5 bridge that connects both Portland and Vancouver together. And so we did. And the Department of Transportation said, you want to put drug addicts and alcoholics on the bridge? Okay, you can have the bridge at 6 a.m. So the first year, there were 200 of us, and we were out there kind of freezing, and we had our first Hands Across the Bridge at 6 a.m. on September 1st. And then we decided to turn it, you know, to have it be on Labor Day, and we had this support from the Recovery Association Project for a lot of years after that. And then, gosh, I wish I weren't so old. I might be able to remember which year it was. But we turned into our own 501c3, and I think that was like 2006 or 2007. So we're all volunteers. There's about 150 people that come together and volunteer to make the event happen for Hands Across the Bridge and Oxfest. And I run out every year and beg money from community members to buy porta potties and, you know, supply lunches for people that get out of treatment to come to our event for the day and to buy insurance and the park permits. And, you know, our community's been very generous with us, and have, every year we get just exactly enough money to make that happen.
Well, I'm sure that we'll have another show about Hands Across the Bridge sometime a little bit closer to the actual date. But thanks for the update, definitely. Has there been anything else that's been new recently? I hear you're going to D.C. in a couple of days here.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Last year, the work I did with my substance use disorder organizing, they were the Community Catalyst is a national funder, and they were interested in the way that I went into the organizing community and brought folks together and to talk about what we really need to further our recovery. A lot of people think when you go to treatment, you know, they clap and applaud and give you a certificate and say, yay, now go out and do better. And a lot of us need to have some recovery support services along the way because we don't know how to live without drugs and alcohol anymore. So we talked about that, and we had a lot of conversations last year about what recovery support services might look like. And so they're flying me out, the Community Catalyst, to do a panel on sometime, I think on Thursday afternoon is my panel. It might be Thursday morning, but I think it's Thursday afternoon because I'm a West Coast person and they're 3 hours ahead. I said, make it as late in the day as you possibly can. But, you know, I've the last week of June, I went out to Washington, D.C. Oh, my gosh, Peter, I was invited to the White House Summit on Working Families. Me, with a criminal history, I got cleared by the Secret Service to be able to attend an event with our president and our first lady and the vice president and Dr. Biden and Nancy Pelosi, and it was amazing. It started at 8:30 a.m. It got over at 5:30 p.m., and I was totally starstruck by all of the people that came to talk about some of the work that I've been doing at Oregon Action, about fair, you know, raising the minimum wage, having maternity leave, extended maternity leave so that people can really, really unite as a family. Just all the things that are near and dear to my heart, there we were talking about it. And there were two Oregonians there. One was Connie from the Oregon's Trade Woman. She was one of the panelists. I just was the starstruck groupie in the audience. I was just amazed at that. But I went out for that, and then I also sit on a board of directors for Faces and Voices of Recovery. So we had our annual board meeting, and so I'm just sort of a jet setter now.
Well, so we've talked an awful lot about the substance use disorder population and a lot about recovery and substances. And it is a major crossover between that and the incarcerated population, or the formerly incarcerated population. But let's draw, this is Prison Pipeline. And so we'll talk a little bit more about how it relates. And just to give we're going to be taking a quick break in just about a minute here. But to give us a preview of what we're going to be talking about in the second half of the show, let's bring up the Ban the Box campaign. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Okay, well, I'm really excited. I've worked on a campaign similar to this before when I was with Partnership for Safety and Justice, but now our community is coming together, and the AFL-CIO and Urban League and Oregon Action have come together. And we're looking for, I'm going to read this, a fair chance for all ordinance will help formerly incarcerated people and those with barriers, records, successfully reintegrate back into the community by removing barriers to gainful employment and housing. A fair chance for all will enhance the health and security of our community by assisting people with criminal records to provide for their families and themselves.
A good preview. And when we come back, Patty's going to tell us a little bit more about exactly what that means, because in abstract, we're not exactly sure. All right. And now for some Nina Simone.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and I'm sitting with Patty Katz, an organizer with Oregon Action at this point in time. But she's been an organizer for, well, ever since I met her about 5 or 6 years ago at this point. But Regardless, and for long, much before that as well. So we are talking about the Fair Chance for All campaign of Oregon Action, and it could also be called the Ban the Box campaign. So Patty introduced it, but why don't you tell us a little bit more specifically what we're talking about when we talk about that, Patty?
Okay, well, I want to be sure and bring in some of the people that are involved on the planning committee, or the people that have formed the coalition, is AFL-CIO and Urban League and Oregon Action. And it's really lovely to work with a team of such bright and brilliant people to make this happen. We were thinking about having just the Ban the Box campaign, but we want people to really know what it's about. So we've named it A Fair Chance for All, Reducing Barriers, Ban the Box. And when I talk about a fair chance for all, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in our community think, well, they've committed a crime, they've gone to do their time, now they're out of jail, now just go on and get on with your life. And it really isn't that easy to get on with your life. Especially since 2001, a lot of people are afraid of any kind of criminal activity, and a lot of new companies have come along and they're doing background checks, and some of the background is real and some of it isn't true. But when I was... I went into my addiction when I was 38, and I came out when I was 52, and I had never had I'd never been turned down for any job that I'd ever applied. And when I started looking for work, I started finding that there were doors that were being shut in my face, and I thought, well, I'm a good worker. I'm not on drugs. Why wouldn't you want me? And I started talking to other folks and learning that a lot of people were having barriers to meaningful employment.
And so just for people who haven't heard of the Ban the Box campaign at all, we're talking about a box?
On the first page, most often it's on the very first page of your employment application. They want to know your name, your address, your phone number, your email address. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Then a little about your education. In my opinion, it shouldn't be as important as your name, your address, and your email. What should be important is your skills, your talents, and your abilities that you bring to the job. It shouldn't have just about that, you know, it shouldn't be just about that box. A lot of people have been convicted of a felony when they were younger, and it doesn't, and the box says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? It doesn't say, if you were convicted of a felony, could you tell us what you've done to totally turn your life around? It doesn't say that. It says yes or no.
And this is a barrier to employment.
Right, and I will talk about the one time I had been out in the community for 7 years. I was had been working in Oregon. I was offered a job in Washington, and it said on the application, have you been convicted, and this one was a little bit different, in the last 7 years in Washington or the last 10 years in Oregon? And I had just celebrated 7 years from my last conviction, and it was in Oregon, and I had to mark the Oregon box, and it wasn't 10 years. And the woman at the front desk, without looking at my employment packet, without even considering it, she took the first page and she just unstapled it. She ripped it off the staple. She handed me back my packet, and she said, if we call you back, you can bring that. And she pointed to my packet. And then she held it up like it was a dirty diaper or something. And as I was walking towards the door, when I looked back at her, she just let go with her two fingers and let it just flutter right into the waste can.
So because you had a criminal conviction that was within the time period, the employer shut the door on employment for you.
And not even the employer, Peter. It was the woman sitting at the front desk. I didn't get to talk to the hiring committee or the hiring person.
Frustrating. So the Ban the Box campaign is about knocking down that barrier.
It's about eliminating the box on the initial job application. We're not saying that that question should never be asked if it's relevant or pertinent to the job. We're just saying that after all the people have been considered for their skills, talents, and abilities, then in a face-to-face interview, someone could say, well, Patty, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And I could say, yes, I have. And then the hiring person could say, well, could you tell me what you've done to turn your life around since then? And I could tell you what I've done. I could show you what I've done. And I have letters from people in my community that will tell you I'm not that person anymore.
So you're not saying that we shouldn't ask people about their criminal convictions.
Right. And I'm not suggesting that we do anything to change the law. There are certain laws in place. I don't ever get to be a sheriff. I don't want to be a sheriff, but there's an Oregon state law that says Patty Katz can never be a sheriff because she has a felony conviction. There's also a law that says that guy over there doesn't get to drive the school bus because he had a certain crime that wouldn't be good to drive the school bus. So there are certain laws in place, and we're doing nothing to change the law. We're not saying that the question isn't, you know, if the question is relevant and pertinent, that it should never be asked. But we're asking for people to be able to say in a face-to-face interview, you know, people can change, and guess what? I did change, and this is how I've made that change.
So I've worked with you a little bit more. I've worked with you a little bit on past Ban the Box campaigns. How is this different than past Ban the Box campaigns?
Well, I first want to say one thing. In Multnomah County, we passed Ban the Box in 2007. And I just spoke with Travis Graves, who's the human resource director for Multnomah County. He told me there has not been one incident since they removed that box that has ever happened in the hiring process or with people with felony convictions working for certain jobs in the county. There hasn't been one incident. But what this is we're asking not only for public employment, Ban the Box, a fair chance, but we're also asking for people that contract with the city, for vendors, for private employment. We ask that our community step up and give people a fair chance for everybody.
Okay. So I understand that there's going to be a kickoff event of sorts. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's tomorrow night, Tuesday, July 15th, and it's going to be at Highland Christian Center, which is 7600 Northeast Gleason. Get there a little bit early because it's parking is difficult. It starts at 6 p.m. We will have some testimony from folks that formerly incarcerated people. We'll have some community leaders. We'll have maybe an elected official or two in the audience. And we're just there to tell our community we're starting this, and we're hoping that people will sign petitions and letters of endorsements, and let's get the whole community behind this, because the bottom line is we want everybody in our community to have a fair chance. We want to reduce barriers and ban that box.
All right. So then, what's your message to the audience, Patty?
Well, if you'd like to get involved in the Ban the Box, or if you have any questions, you can call me. I'll give you my cell phone number. I have unlimited minutes, so don't be afraid to call. It's still a Washington number, 360-903-4645. Or you could go on to our website, which is afairchanceforall.com.
Dot com.
I think so. I think I've just...
If that doesn't work, try .org.
There you go. And if that doesn't work, Google A Fair Chance for All, Portland, Oregon, and it will take you right to it. There's ways on our website that you can sign as an individual a letter of endorsement. Also, there are people from the bus project that are knocking on doors and they're asking you to sign the petition. If you have a story that you would like to share, I would love to have your story. And if you want to just see what we're all about, come on out tomorrow night to 7600 Northeast Gleason over at the Highland Christian Center. Get there early. We're starting promptly at 6.
Perfect. So why is this important now, Patty?
Well, I think it's important because, you know, you mentioned this is Prison Pipeline, and 74% of all the people in the Oregon prison system are there with a drug or moderate to severe drug problem. In our federal system, 80% of all federal prisoners have a drug or an alcohol problem. So, you know, if we are incarcerating the disease of addiction and then barring people from meaningful employment when they come out of prison, it's just not a smart way for our community to do business.
And so why is this important to you, Patty?
Yeah, this is important to me because I just wear a sign that says people can change and we do. People say, why don't you get your record expunged, Patty? Well, I'm not going to get my record expunged. I want people to know that's what I did in the disease of my addiction, and this is who I am as a woman in recovery. So I don't want to close the door on my past. I want my experience to be able to benefit and help other people so that they can go, whoa, Patty Katz can change, so can I.
Oh, great. And so do you have a story of anyone else who's been impacted by this campaign?
Oh, I have tons of stories. By the campaign or by the box?
Whichever's most compelling.
Well, tomorrow night we'll be sharing stories. We'll be sharing four stories at our event at 7600 Northeast Gleason. It's a story that that's going all over the United States. In 2005 or 2006, a couple folks down in California, Linda Evans and Dorsey Nunn, got together and they started talking to folks in the community and found out that education and housing and employment, people with formerly incarcerated people were unable to get meaningful employment, were unable to get a decent place to live for their families. And some people were unable to even get an education because of a felony conviction. So they started this movement called Ban the Box. And now there are more than 60 cities and counties around the country, but there are 12 states that have adopted a statewide ordinance for Ban the Box. So, you know, we're just sort of jumping on the bandwagon and... we're a progressive state. We have a lot of people in prison. We believe in second chances. And we just want everybody to have a fair chance.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight, Patty, and telling us a little bit about the A Fair Chance for All campaign, reduced barriers and Ban the Box. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 here in the Portland, Oregon area. We've been talking with Patty Katz about the campaign, the newest Ban the Box campaign that she's working on, and a kickoff event that's going on tomorrow at the Highland Christian Center. I'm your host, Peter Pincel. If you like us on Facebook. Don't forget to tune in next week to hear from Stephanie Guy, my co-host. Have a great evening.
Thanks.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO Community Radio and Peña Flamenca de Portland are proud to co-sponsor Lily Last and Pepe Rafael on Friday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. Pepe Rafael of Pepe and the Bottle Blondes will team up with Lily Last of Stomptown Flamenco for an evening of flamenco. Again, that's Lily Last and Pepe Rafael on Friday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, located at Southeast 2nd Avenue and Madison Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
We're now approaching Newport, Rhode Island.
KBOO and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present one of the great concert films of all time, Jazz on a Summer's Day, a documentary of the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival. Jazz on a Summer's Day captures the music, the crowd, and the essence of such jazz greats as Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Jerry Mulligan, and Anita O'Day. Jazz on a Summer's Day, Thursday, August 14, 7 p.m., at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Old Rockin' Chair's got me.
Old Rockin' Chair got your father.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is KBOO's evening broadcast of Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.